Thank you.
I'd like to thank everyone for coming, and we do have one student online. Bill came in and told us that there was one student, so just thought we'd recognize that. Do we have approval of the minutes from March 4th?
Motion, Potter.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any questions or changes? All in favor, say aye.
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 We'll move right on to the sheriff. Good morning.
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 Not on.
There you go.
Got the green light means go? All right. Before we start with our commendation, just want to ask everybody to put Investigator TG in their prayers. He's the Chemung County Deputy Investigator that's in the hospital currently in critical care after being struck by a vehicle while effecting an arrest down in Horseheads. So as you're doing your talks with the deity above, please put him in there and his family. Good news, commendation news. This is Deputy Brian Harrison, Deputy Ryan Andrews. They've both been with us a number of years. Actually, Deputy Harrison started in the jail for 7 years as a correction officer. 11 years. It goes by so fast. Yes. Before he was able to come over to the roadside, and he's been a deputy for the last 3 years, 4 years. Yeah.
The sheriff doesn't want you getting close to
15 years with our agency doing outstanding work. I bring your attention to the early morning hours of March 4th, 2024. As most of you saw in the news, there was a tractor trailer that crashed up on 86 on an overpass in the town of Avoca. The tractor end of the vehicle was over the guide rail and in danger of descending to the roadway below. The trailer part was over on its side up on the highway. The operator of the truck was still in the cab and screaming for help when deputies Harrison and Andrews arrived. They were the first on scene and began to manage that incident. Both deputies quickly assessed the scene and began calling for needed resources, not only to stabilize the vehicle, but also to extract the driver. They called for additional resources to shut down the local highway, which was below the overpass and in danger of falling debris from the overturned tractor trailer. Due to the calm, professional manner in which both deputies communicated and de-escalated the panic driver, got the proper equipment to respond to stabilize the vehicle and extract the driver while ensuring that secondary incident did not occur below them, the vehicle and driver were safely removed from this complicated crash scene. Both deputies worked efficiently and effectively with responding fire and EMS agencies to avoid tragedy. I, Sheriff James L. Allard, do hereby commend Deputy Ryan Andrews and Deputy Brian Harrison for their professionalism, leadership, and service. Not only did they recognize the critical nature of this crash, they provided calm leadership towards a successful and safe resolution. Thank you, gentlemen, for your professionalism, integrity, leadership, and service. What we didn't tell you is neither one of them were dispatched to that call. They heard the call, knew they were at the closest car, and responded on their own in order to take care of that crash.
Thank you very much, guys. We can't even say thank you enough.
Yes, there you go. Thank you, fellas. Mary will get you. No, she will not. All right. My only other item is an agreement with DCGS to establish a fingerprint escrow account. Every time we hire a new person, and the jail side or the roadside, they have to be fingerprinted to check their criminal history background. And this allows us to do it through DCGS. We have to set up an escrow account with them in order to make sure that we have, not for them, but for the secondary vendor that gets paid in order to do the background check. So based on our estimate, we're looking at setting it up initially. I think it was around $2,800. We have money in an account for that, but we need authorization entered into the contract for the escrow.
Is this similar to what you've done in the past, Sheriff, or how did it work in the past?
So in the past, what we did is we sent them out to IDEMIA and then reimbursed them. If they were road, the jail paid for their own. Last year, there was some discussion about paying for theirs.
Yep.
So this will allow us to pay for theirs upfront.
Right, thank you.
Yep.
Do we have a motion?
I'll move it.
I'll second.
All right, we have a motion and a second. Do we have any questions or comments? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Carries. Thank you.
Thank you. Happy April Fool's Day.
Yeah.
All right. Nolan Brooks.
Well, we're starting off the diversion stuff. Noel's got a copy of the report. I'll let him talk about that. It's been his baby and his problem since the inception. So,
Good morning. I passed out the diversion annual report. There's a cover letter there. Diversion in 2023 collected fees of $631,895 and some change. Our expenditures were $175,362 and some change. Total dispersed to municipalities out of the expenditures was $83,789. The total for the municipalities was $175,362 and some change. Contract services was $83,789. We had $6,000 and $747 that went to training for the active shooters for the national training in Texas. And we had $113 expenses for office needs. So the remaining balance left over in the 2023 fees collected is $365,882 and some change. The letter goes on in regards to some details that we discussed in previous meetings in the Public Safety and Corrections. We did discuss about some possible equipment needs for this current year's expenditures. And I think Jack's going to bring it up at the end of the meeting, but it's and on page two, we've had a request from the Village of Bath Police Department for a couple cameras located at the local truck or bus stop. Update and to have a couple spare or SRO active shooter kits. There's five there. The New York State Police has asked us for if we could help provide them with two shields. The state doesn't provide those for them, their response, but they've been involved in a couple calls lately that have been what we can consider hot or a possible active shooter. Not active shooter, but somebody with a firearm inside the house, and a shield would provide the road patrol officers with just some added protection if they had to make an approach to areas. Corning City Police Department asked for we could give any assistance in regards to a drone grant towards them. The chief has said that she would enter an MOU or an MOA with local agencies to assist. And the drug initiative, we have two surveillance vehicles that we do not have a mobile radio for. And our drug work is starting to pick up again since COVID and the Discover reform. So I did include that in the possibility of a funding. So those are things for the committee to review. There's some graphs on page three and page four. Breaks down each district in regards to what each one of your districts received during the 2023 year. Obviously, districts with interstates that run through them have a greater fees collected. District 7 was the highest at $43,671. And then there, at the back is a pie chart in regards to the breakdown by districts. Are there any, go ahead, sir.
Are
What's paid out to each municipality is based off a percentage of the tickets that were issued there. Is that how that works?
Yes, sir. It's each municipality receives where the ticket is, the municipality, not necessarily a court. Like the town of Corning is a prime example. The village of Riverside receives their portion if the ticket was written there. But yes, it's a percentage. I believe it's 27%.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Thank you.
So, there are other questions?
Are these official requests that we can approve today?
So that goes to my part of the discussion. It's kind of restarting a discussion I think this committee had back in December, because there was talk about amending the local law to increase the percentages to the municipalities, and we'll get into that a little bit later. Recommendation would be, you know, to have that discussion of whether you establish, like at the time we talked about, a program, so a essentially grant program that kind of puts a guide rails around it, because who knows how many more such requests would come, and yeah. Instead of reviewing them, you know, kind of ad hoc, having a more formalized system in place.
Okay.
Or again, that's a discussion for later for you all. If you want to take a look at increasing the percentages, there's some downsides, or there's some complications to that, I would say.
But so I'm in favor of using the money for law enforcement type related expenses. I mean, we banked $365,000. This would be another 44 off from that. But I agree we should have a more formal process to do that. But on your front page, you also talk about this Axon imposing fees that could be $100,000.
And I'll get to that next, because that's, or I can start that now if you'd like.
Okay.
Axon is the body cam.
Go ahead, sir.
I remember a few years ago, Corning Incorporated gave us a grant as part of the process when New York State was having us re-envision police here in New York State. We had all those committee meetings, and so as part of that, Corning gave us a 3-year grant for cameras. We saw everybody there was for cameras, and Axon was decided by the Police Chiefs Association that was the best, the most effective. They had the best program. We were there for some of the sales pitches, and part of the pitch was for the DA's office, it will always be free. Well, now 3 years have gone by. We are locked into Axon. New York State has Axon cameras. That's all of our body worn camera stuff. That's all of our car cameras. It is, I don't know if Sean is here, it's probably half the discovery we turn over is Axon body camera from the departments across the county. They have decided now that it's not free anymore. They told us about a month and a half ago that you have until the end of March to be in good faith negotiations with us in buying this. It's your portal, or it's going to close. So they basically put a gun to our head and said, you're in trouble. Their version of negotiation was, when will you start? Not, you know, can we go up or down $5, or can we change the nature of the service we buy from you, or anything else. So we did what we're supposed to do. We began good faith negotiations, so our portal will stay open. Friday, actually, I had a long meeting with about 15 DAs from across largely upstate New York and the sales reps from Axon over in Schuyler County. They finally agreed to actually engage in negotiation. We've also pulled in the governor's office, because I think they just signed a contract for, I don't know, $56 or $86 million, some huge number. We don't have any, with just 30 users in DA's office, we're not in a position to negotiate at all. And most small DA's offices aren't. So finally, during this meeting, the sales rep and her sort of her boss agreed that if we can get together a block of 500 employees through various DA's offices, then they'll begin negotiations. That's their bottom line negotiation numbers, a minimum 500 people. So with that, they were sort of, right about 500 folks represented at the table by the DAs who were there. We all agreed to negotiate as a group. We're going back to our association, trying to negotiate as a group statewide. They even indicated there are 4 or 5 offices who've already gone to sign their contracts. one being Onondaga. I think Broome is close, big offices. They'll let them back out and become part of our group for negotiation processes. And I think we're going to get some pressure from the governor's office as well. It was about a 4.5 hour meeting, so I'm kind of trying to spin it down into about 5 minutes. But the long and the short is, we don't know exactly what the price point is going to be. Probably they showed us the program. They have three different programs. One of them is very labor intensive for us. That's the bottom end program. It jumps off at $500 per user in the office, plus a startup fee of around $5,000, maybe as much as 15, depending upon how they make our data walk over to their new system. Then it sort of escalates to their highest level, which is about $1,100 per person. We can't choose who it is. It's based on employee. They don't care if it's full-time or half-time. If they're employed by your office, they don't care if it's a janitor or if it's a district attorney. You're in the program and you're a user. So we're looking somewhere between, $30,000 and $60,000 for our office based on the numbers they were throwing out. The upside is that the higher-end program could save us a lot of times. So we might be able to save a clerical person or something else because it talks to our program better than the current program does. It's less labor intensive for us for downloading and uploading information. We can get more information loaded through. At the same time, I know they're talking, the sheriff's not here. They're talking, sheriff has actually on body cameras. They're talking about a sort of a case management suite for them as well. So it's an ongoing process, but it's going to be expensive and we don't have a choice because if they shut the portal down where those body cameras come, one, we lose all of our old data. We don't own our data, which means for appeals and things like that, we're done. We would not be able to get body cam from any of our law enforcement agencies. And right now, because of the Grant Corning Incorporated was so generous with, all of our local agencies have Axion cameras. Those would be shut off and we'd lose them. Even if as a county, we went off Axion, state police are still going to be on Axion. They just signed a multi-year contract. So we're going to have that portal no matter what. So they really, they've got a gun to our head right now. We're trying to figure out how to sort of pare that down, but it's a brand. They just dumped this on us. apparently they made some noise about it at the winter meeting at the DA's Association, which was in February. And at the beginning of March, they dumped it on us and said, okay, you got 30 days to begin negotiations or we're going to shut you down. So, we didn't see this coming. Noel and I were at the sales meetings. We never expected it not to be free. And now we're in a bad spot. So that's why I want to talk to you guys about it. Negotiations are going to be unique because, again, we're going to be trying to negotiate with a large group of counties as sort of a team to be able to get the best number we can. They are on a state approved list, so I don't think we have to, but the purchasing piece is difficult and they're looking for contracts between 5 and 10 years. So with escalator clauses and that kind of stuff inside them.
Is this type of fee though, a single one? I mean, it covers all of our people that use cameras and people that have access to the system. You said the sheriff is also using, they may be.
Well, they have.
So is that going to be double?
Well, you're paying for the sheriff anyway. But this new thing, we're already paying for the sheriff and their cameras. Corning Inc. covered the first 3 years of the grant for those, right, for all of us. So we're beginning to pick those up now. And I can't remember if we're full this year or we sort of pare it down over the next 2 years, but within a couple of years, we're paying for that. But that was an expected cost. We knew we were going to pay for the law enforcement side for their data gathering and other information. So we're not going to double pay.
Okay.
It's new to us and it's an annual fee. So it's not a suite we can buy and own, but it's the only way we can protect our data. We had talked about an individual server and I know that, the Schuyler County DA had the same idea. Can we get our own server and kind of go and run these folks? He had talked to his IT person and it was cost prohibitive. I don't know exactly what that means. I'm going to get some more information from him, but we don't have time to do it anyway because they're going to close. They want us in the end of our conversations, basically they want it signed up by January. They understand that they hit us mid-budget cycle and we're not in a place to come up with $50,000 or $60,000 or $70,000 out of the blue. They want a commitment before the end of the year and then to pay us in the next budget cycle. They also indicated that they will give us a free trial for 6 or 8 weeks during this negotiation process. So we're going to pursue that as well. So
even if you did your own server, you couldn't get access to the old.
Our old data would be gone. The issue is that like the sheriff owns his data as being part of that process. It's all maintained by Axion. but I'm not a computer guy. I'm sorry. But my understanding is the sheriff owns his stuff. So we could, in theory, get it. He could then request it all to come back. We could find somewhere to put it. But the cloud storage here would be huge. This kind of storage. We've talked about using the NIPTI program. We currently have our current case management program that sends evidence out. And we could use NIPTI can provide, that's the New York State Prosecutors Training Institute. Our state association can provide storage for us. But we pay for that as well. And it would be sort of an exponential number that would increase every month that we put stuff in that would be as expensive as this within a year or two. So and with no additional benefit. You know, part of this is once we sign on, even if we sign off, we'll always have access to our data. That's part of the contract now. The idea of our own server was we could maybe send our guys out, download the videos, bring them back in, upload them. It would be incredibly cumbersome with the speeds of download and upload and the size of downloads we're talking about here. So manpower wise, we'd end up paying for a whole lot more than what we'd be doing now. It's all push button stuff. So,
Brooks, yeah. As far as what are you actually looking for, giving you permission to negotiate?
Nothing right now. I'm just putting you on notice that this thing got dropped in our laps between the last meeting and this meeting.
Okay.
But there is going to be something and we're going to have to do it. And how we act may be different than we usually act. So once I have more information, I'll come back. I'll communicate through you folks if we have to do, you know, between meetings or something's going on. You know, this meeting in Schuyler yesterday was the infancy of a real negotiation process. Our whole negotiation idea before was you start talking to your sales rep, and what we were hearing from other counties was it's not a negotiation. It's when will you start and when will you pay? It wasn't, you know, can we, you know, change what we're getting a little bit? Can we pay less? Can we do a shorter contract? Can we guarantee less increases? That kind of stuff. Yes.
It just seems disappointing to me that a state approved contractor like that would then start strong arming the counties.
And it's disappointing to us as well across the DAs, because the state police use Axion cameras. So that means every county in the state has this problem in some form or fashion right now. We have contacted the governor's office through the association. They're upset as well. They're the ones that stepped in sort of this month and said, you know, hey, Axion, we just signed this monster contract with you. You're not going to shut the DAs down and that make this not work. Let's keep this thing going. So they have guaranteed no shutdown until at least September now, based upon what the governor's office came through with just before we found about that during the meeting on Friday, that they guaranteed us till September. And the Axion folks said, look, we understand this is, we're all screaming, this is mid-budget cycle. None of us can come up with this kind of money out of the blue. And they were sort of in a position where you're right. You know, we're looking at, we want people signed on. So there is some time where we're looking 8 months out, but it's just going to, it's a different animal. And it's was not something I expected, not something we ever expected. I mean, we were at the meetings when they said be free forever for DAs. Unfortunately, those meetings weren't recorded and we're not a part of the contract. So there was nothing for us to sign and say, okay to. So it was, well, thanks guys. That's great.
I just want to reinforce what Brooks said. I was at the sales pitch and I asked the tough questions representing in our office and doing the due diligence, because I know that our records management system is very cost effective, because we, the District Attorneys Association in New York State, controls it, runs it, and has received funding to keep it up to date. And we just pay for storage and a nominal fee for each prosecutor. So I asked the tough questions in the sales pitch, just doing the due diligence, because I seen the writing on the wall, because this was a beta program. And I had said to them, are you going to provide this to the district attorney's offices in New York State as free? Because we already have 80% or more of the district attorneys in our own records management system that we control. And the salesperson said, we'll absolutely offer the tunnel for free. And I caught some stares and some glares, but we did do our due diligence at the sales pitch, because I did not expect this coming. And when I did get it and Brooke showed it to me, I was like, I asked those questions and we were lied to.
Yeah, it sounds like instead of a beta program, it was a bait and switch program.
That's I will, the things that have come across the DA's listserv discussing this, and some of the It was not a real pleasant meeting early on with these sales reps. And they're trying to show us their product, which we don't really care about. And everybody had the same thing. We're not the only ones. I mean, they went and sold it to groups across the state. And, because when they were looking at body cams, Axion got the state contract, and that was one of the big pitches, is it's always going to be free. And we all heard it. And they're saying, well, it still is free, but you just got to go get it from your sheriff's office or the Addison PD or the Cohocton Village PD, download it, bring it to your office and send it someplace. The tunnel through which it comes is gone. That's the electronic means of getting it to us. And your old data, well, we're not responsible for that. We're not going to store it for you. So it's, in theory, they didn't really lie to us, but they did. You know, it's one of those salesman versions of stuff. As a bunch of lawyers, I guess we should have figured that out, but we're not part of the contract. So we had no leverage at that point other than watching law enforcement pick what they thought was best. And it does work very well with our case tracking system, which is provided and created by the DA's Association. And one of the big perks there is it's free. And that's, they're trying to offer something even on top of this, which is a case tracking system. And most case tracking systems cost this much to begin with per user. And our association gives us ours for free. So we don't have that. All we pay for is storage through them for what we pass through the system, what we hold on our system. So we have that luxury, and we're certainly not going to lose that and go to a different system to be at somebody else's mercy and double this cost. So we're trying to find, this system does talk well to our system, and they promised it will talk better if we all sign on. So, but it's again, we're all upset. It's a big number, and I'm not very happy about it. But I just need to make you guys aware of it. We're going to have to do something in the next budget cycle and probably have to do something as far as contracting the next few months. But the story changed on Friday, so we're now really in flux from where we were. So,
thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yep. The next thing just is up there on staffing and recruitment. We are one full-time assistant short. John Thweet left us in February for Chautauqua County, where he's going to make more money. Sort of what it comes down to. We also have a part-time ADA who is going to be leaving. Well, left us today. It's April 1st. I think he's pursuing bigger and better things in the city of Corning. So that leaves me a position to have light. We were already, as you recall, we had talked about maybe making one of our part-time positions full-time again down the road. We're having a very difficult time recruiting. As you know, we did something very creative, and we did hire a third-year law student who's now working for us and doing some discovery stuff and other things remotely, who we will echelon into an ADA spot next year that's already open. So a lot of it comes down to economics. I know that you're doing a study right now, but just in Schuyler County, when I was there, I was talking to Joe Fazzari about how he was getting people, and his folks are making – his top end assistant is making about $20,000 a year more than my deputy is. He has less experience than Joan does. And then he's got another assistant who's got about 8 or 9 years in, who they're paying more than we're paying our deputies in either the DA's office or the public defender's office. And that's what he had to pay to compete. And again, that's what Chautauqua County did. I know that a couple of my ADAs went to a training recently and were offered six-figure salaries by DA's offices just cold. Hey, you want to come work for me? Here's, $100,000, $120,000, which is more than we're paying right now. So I'm looking forward, and I've got a senior ADA who is looking to retire in August. I'd like to try to keep him a little while longer, but I know we're sitting on about $190,000 or $200,000 in recruitment and retention grant money. And I talked to Jack about that, and I understand why we're not doing it right now, but I'm going to have to be able to pay people more to bring attorneys in. It's just, that's where I'm at. I've contacted all the law schools, sent stuff out. We have, if you look on the prosecutor's website, almost every office in the state is looking for prosecutors right now. And all of them are changing their numbers. It's kind of like watching a ticker, the numbers change on the job listings pretty routinely. So we're going to have to do something about that very, very soon. Just
question. Yeah. Does the survey that we've hired the Burke Group to update, does that include?
Yes.
DA's offices?
Yes. Okay. Yeah. And they've started. We had signed the contract, and they're starting as of last week.
Okay.
Well, and our other piece is just the sheer number of staffing. With Discovery, the workload for our folks, that's part of my problem, is the workload they're staring at is dramatically more than it was before. Kind of by comparison, we've always been number-wise pretty consistent with Ontario County, not salary-wise, but number of attorneys. They're 100,000, we're 100,000. Our case numbers are pretty comparable. I think they're up to 18 or 19 attorneys right now, and we're at 14. That includes me. So we're going to have to look at our staffing levels, just because Discovery is such a huge issue for us right now, and the motions that come with it. It's not just getting the stuff out the door, but it's dealing with fighting over each piece that's not there. And that's what the public defender's office is supposed to do. But we have to deal with it. And it's taken up a huge amount of time. So we either have to be able to offer we don't have any case caps. So we either have to be able to offer more quality of life or more money, one or the other, or I'm not going to be able to keep people. I've already got a couple of folks who are in private practice and that came from private practice and that $158 an hour assigned counsel sitting out there, and they know how many hours they're working and they can do the math. And they've been making a whole lot more than they're making now. So a lot more than I make. So that's a real issue we're going to have to start talking about pretty soon. The next thing that we're talking about is a contract with Finger Lakes Paralegals. This is Pam Maini, who's done training for us in the past. For a number of years, we had a contract. We paid her a set rate, and she came in and did training ad hoc for us. The contract lapsed. We started, she puts on classes for us and for, she trains across the state, other DA's offices. So we just started sending our people to those classes. She teaches everything from kind of orientation to of somebody who works in a DA's office. She's very good with our case tracking system and how Discovery works and things like that. So we had been sending people to classes and speaking to Jack. I think the county's preference was we go back to a contract with her to give us a little more versatility to be able to send our people to her classes, but also to be able to have her come in-house and do some training as we try to go through staff and keep people moving. So we have a contract out. We got a proposal out there to pay her a set rate and also allow our people to go to her classes and just ask that be approved.
Yeah, it was a discussion with the auditor, because the dollar amounts were getting to the point where it triggers some of the purchasing requirements in terms of quotes and those sort of things. And has Andy, I apologize, has Andy reviewed this? Or
no, Jackie, I was okay. Waiting for the discussion.
Okay. So yeah, if you're comfortable with it, make it contingent upon Andy reviewing. He'll probably have to try to get a couple quotes, which he'll do. It's a pretty specialized service. And so it shouldn't be an issue, but it was reaching the amounts that, Leslie was pinging us about it. So I had a conversation with Brooks, and it'd just be cleaner to have a contract. That way they could utilize, the training as needed.
So can we actually make that a motion today upon Andy's approval?
Or
to Andy to bring it back to us, or how do you?
Do we know what the total dollar amount is?
Scott, we have since the previous contract, we only utilize Pam's services when we don't have staff available or our caseload so high and we take on a new person. We only utilize her for those sort of training. We currently have a paralegal right now, and he's being trained by in-house staff because of the job description. Dallas, the third-year law student, he's working remotely. So the best way to get him trained and up to Discovery, to level he could do Discovery, was to have Pam do it because it was remote. So we have curtailed the amount of money that we do spend on Pam over the years, and the services were like per class, or if a group of our paralegals need a specific set of training, Pam was available. That's the only reason we used her.
But the contract must refer to either a rate per hour or a total dollar amount.
It does, and I can't remember.
Yeah, I believe that the rate per hour was what came into question 3 or 4 years ago. So we went to the training, and what a training fee is if you send someone to training.
Okay.
And that was more, I guess, conducive to the spending at the time. But obviously training costs have gone up, so her rate has gone up a little bit. So now it's kind of comparable. And I think that's why it's been raised by Leslie to Jack.
I mean, we can have her do a proposal but I think the issue is we're not going to find another person who's got, she trains for our state association around the state, and her DA's office you know, needs the same thing we need. They call her in and she does it now with Zoom. She does it remotely almost anywhere, goes on site to do it.
So Andy can make a couple calls to, you know, and if they don't find anyone, then that satisfies the requirements. It's for quotes to not do a formal RFP. It's a max of 10 grand. If it looks like we're going to come close to that, we're going to have a discussion in the future about an RFP. But again,
I have a hard time thinking we'll get to 10,000.
No, it was
a few thousand. It will vary with the number of employees we bring in,
yeah,
and the situation we're in.
That's why we thought quotes would
that be helps to,
yeah,
you know, put a number to it, because we don't approve things that are just open-ended.
No, it used to be 20-ish and it was a pretty set contract, but like Noel and Brooks said, now as needed, that at least that way they have the money for it. At least that way they can just do it and not have to come back every time to do that.
And we've been doing it a la carte, so we don't really know what the per hour charge is going to be. So
I think those numbers in themselves help us, because now we know 10 or 15, we're not talking 100.
Oh, no, yeah. No, we're talking about $10,000 a year. I think $10,000 would be very aggressive. And
that's fine.
There'd be years we wouldn't spend more than a couple thousand, maybe years we spend the 10 if we replace a lot of people. So,
yeah.
And I've been very aggressive in regards to sending the training. So like the in-house, I mean, we could easily have sent the paralegal to have her do it and then freed up our paralegals from the training. But Pam does, just so you know, Pam's background, Brooks is correct. She does state training wide, but she also speaks at the national, or that she speaks at the state District Attorneys Association conferences twice a year. She's an instructor. She's always present during when they do online training. So she is probably, you know, the state expert in regards to our system and in regards to records management and discovery.
Mm-hmm.
She was there for part of the conversation on Friday too, just to sort of help de-geek the process for those of us who are not computer people, to explain what we were to translate from our sales rep to the bunch of DAs right. Who were there. So
okay, so what we would need is a motion to approve contract contingent purchasing approval.
I'll move it.
I'll second it.
Is there any other questions on that? All in favor, say aye.
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 Carries.
All right. Thank you. Anything else? All right. Thanks.
Thank you. All right, Tim.
Morning.
Morning.
All right. Got several items for you this morning. First is going to be the renewal of the Livingston County Intermunicipal Agreement for the County Line Road Tower. We have fiber connects into County Line Road in Livingston County. This is part of the regional backbone. Just as an extra point, part of the regional grant that we're working on with the regional radio consortium, Allegheny County's hoping to go into a further point west into Livingston County, and that'll give us a full ring that will allow us to go from County Line Road through Livingston County back into Allegheny to give us an additional backbone back into the system. But this was a five-year agreement we did with them initially. That 5 years is up, so we need to renew.
Is there a cost on this?
No, there's no cost.
I'll move it.
I'll second.
All right, we have a motion and a second. Do we have any other questions? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Carries.
Okay, second item is the request to go to bid for the burn building. This is a capital project that we've been working on for quite a while. We have the funds there to go to bid, and we'd like to go to bid with that process.
I'll move it.
We have a motion. Do we have a second?
No second.
I have a second. Is there any questions for Tim on the burn building? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Carries.
Okay. Next is accepting the RFP for the exercise that I discussed at the last meeting. This is a Homeland Security grant funded exercise. We had three RFPs that came back, and I would like to request authorization to enter into agreement with RPG Pro LLC in the amount of $10,000. Again, this is grant funded.
Motion.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any questions for Tim on it? If not, all in favor, say aye.
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 Carries.
Okay. So last point I have is EMS update. Actually, I'll bring Brandon up, help me out with this a little bit. So last month, we asked to go to bid for EMS charting and EMS billing. This would be for our new program so that we had a process of being able to chart patient care and then also use that charting to do billing. So the EMS charting piece came back high. We only had one vendor that bid that. I think it was $110,000 or something like that. It was quite a bit of money. So in talking with the vendor and several other vendors about why there wasn't a response to the RFP or to the bid, it basically was that we were asking for more in our bid than what we probably need to get started. So what we would like to do is actually we would like to reject the bid and then go back out to bid for EMS charting. And we would like to do a quick turnaround on that and then possibly have a PS&C meeting before the ledge meeting to authorize that so we can keep on pace with the billing bid as well. So we'd like to reject that bid and then go out to bid with a new specification with a little bit more of what we're looking for on the scope.
So do we have a motion to reject the bid and put it back out?
I'll move it.
I'll second it.
We have a motion and a second. Any questions? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carries.
Okay. On the EMS billing side, so we had three bids that came back on EMS billing. We would like to recommend QuickMed Claims. They're based out of Pittsburgh area of Pennsylvania. They're proposing a 5.95% net collection of revenue with a $10 on Medicaid claims. So when you look at these vendors and how they scope their process or their services, it's based either on a percentage or a flat rate. Based on Brandon and my review of this, I think QuickMed Claims is going to give us the best option for what we're looking for in this process.
So Tim, when you say 5.9%, that's on collected, not on billed.
That's correct, right?
Yes, but many of them also have processes in place to go, you know, for secondary collections or, you know, and ultimately it falls on us how aggressive do we want to pursue any collections that are out there.
Okay.
But yes, that's collected.
All right. Yeah. I just wanted to make sure it wasn't billed so that we weren't running up, you know, the total that we are. Thank you. Are there any other questions? Do we have a motion to approve QuickMed claims at 5.95% and $10 on Medicaid claims?
Motion.
Second.
Is there any questions? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carries.
Okay. So basically at this point, if we can plan on doing the charting piece at the end of the month and we have our billing in place, we're getting much more closer to being able to get up and get running. We've been meeting with the administration and with personnel in regards to hiring staff. So one of the points that we'd like to do at this point is move forward with the municipal CON process. We're thinking that the best route for that would be to do it this month so that we had everything in place and we're ready to go as soon as we have employees and lease agreements and whatnot in place with local vendors. So we anticipate that we would have a resolution at the end of the month that for full legislature to accept the municipal CON for the county for ambulance service.
Countywide, both ALS and BLS.
Yes, correct. That's correct.
Yeah, we're getting close. And like Tim said, after talking with Jen and internally and Hannigan up in Albany, times now to do it just so that we're prepared to be able to put, like we talked about, paramedics on the road first to start. And, you know, we're in a timing phasing issue. We're working with personnel as well in terms of recruiting. As you know, we've discussed starting with temporary part-timers for all these positions and then seeing how it goes, seeing what the staffing need is, seeing where the gaps are, and candidly coming back to you in the not too distant future, likely to transition some of them to permanent, either part-time or, in the case of paramedics, maybe even full-time. We're kind of, you know, we budgeted to account for that, but we want to be able to see how things go first. So we're getting close. So now's the time to.
So do you actually need a motion from this board? Okay. Yep. So do we have a motion to motion by Wendy?
I'll second it.
Second by Fred. We have a motion and a second. Is there any further questions on the certificate of need?
Have we been getting any, I don't know what you'd refer to them as, calls from local municipalities saying, when are you guys going to do something?
Well, yeah, but
yes, from about all of my towns in my district, they're asking me to come talk to their boards and tell them where we stand. Yeah. And so I need an update as to where we are.
Yep.
And where we're gonna be providing service for them, because a lot of them are about bowing out of the Hornell service because their contract's very expensive.
Yeah, and that's going to be interesting. And the timing is about what we discussed. You know, we talked kind of end of April. It might be beginning of May by the time we get this going, after we get the municipal CON, but we're kind of in the same time frame that we discussed at the last EMS meeting. We have another EMS meeting coming up this month to update them. So if the crews are there, if the volunteers are there, they'll hear the latest. But the same kind of time frame, first roll out paramedics once, you know, probably end of the month, beginning of next month, approximately, and then slowly then bring on the BLS. But yeah, it's basically Fred's area that at least I've heard. I'm sure they're talking to, you know, Tim and Brandon more, but we're getting closer. And I know these guys are working with, they've talked to Woodhull. They're talking to some other of the municipalities about getting those agreements after we get the CON in place. But we're having the discussions about getting those agreements in place so we can utilize their rigs for BLS.
That brings up another question, if I may. Right now, with Hornell, the town's paying for Hornell through contract, and then Hornell is billing the patients, and it appears to be like double dipping. But if my understanding is correct, even when we get this operational, they shouldn't expect that the service is going to be free to the residents in the town.
Correct. And we had that discussion, and it's a good point to, it's probably the time for, to talk again. We talked to the municipal agencies that were there at the last meeting, and that Fred was there. But it is an awareness thing, because in some of these towns, the citizens don't think that their insurance is going to be billed, because from the historic municipal based ambulance, they weren't, right. But we will be billing.
Yeah, that's important that they know.
Yeah. And yes. So we talked to them at that time about, and it's time to start spreading that word, and people will complain a little bit. I don't know if it's, you know, if we do press releases, we talked about that, and I'm sure we'll talk about it. Is it next week, week and a half that we have the next meeting with the EMS agencies? But it's going to be a change for some of the towns. There's, I'd say most at this point are used to a billing structure. Certainly most of the residents, if you look from a population standpoint, but some of those towns, it will be a change.
And when you say that you're getting billed by like Hornell plus the patients, that's the same across. I mean, like for instance, in Campbell, we have a contract with AMR. And we pay them $19,000 a year, but they still pay off of our.
Yeah, the town seems to think that since they're paying Hornell for the service, the residents shouldn't have to pay anything. And I think that's a fallacy.
Yeah,
it is. And if that was the case, instead of being, you know, like $18,000, it would be, you know, a million.
Yes.
You know.
The other thing is, while the EMS service agencies are at those meetings, apparently there's not discussion between them and the town boards in my area because they don't have a clue what's going on.
Okay. We can work on that. We can draft up some communication to send to the town supervisors and the clerks at that distribution list that we have. We could do that. I think we even said, you know, make sure you're communicating with your residents and things like that. Maybe we didn't say talk to your town supervisor, but yeah, they need to be aware of what's going on. And it's better to hear from if their crews and their agencies go to these meetings.
That's part of the problem. One of the towns that I've been requested to attend their meeting to talk about this, that agency mm-hmm. services them was not at that.
I think they were the only one.
Kind of wanting to be independent. I don't know how she would describe it other than maybe rogue, going it on their own and not being involved, or else they don't have people that can get there. I don't know what the situation is. And I'm going to point fingers and blame or anything. But
yeah, but it's a good point, Fred. And we can work on some communication because if it's not getting back to them, because at that meeting, we were very clear that this is supplemental. It doesn't mean exactly. it doesn't mean get out of the business. We don't know what other dominoes are going to fall among, you know, along the years. But just because, I mean, we're going to start out with Brandon and one other paramedic. I mean, you know, that's how we're going to start. That's not going to, if you have four towns drop out, not going to cover that, you know?
Yeah. And there's two towns I know in my district that have already dropped service with Hornell because it's so costly. And you know, they're looking, you know.
Yeah. And we were notified that from the one township last week that they were going to suspend their contract with Hornell.
And
based on what we were doing.
And we've been consistent in our message that you can make whatever decision that you want for your municipality, but the county is not coming in and providing full service to your municipality.
No.
That's just not strictly a helper.
Well, right. That's what I've told them. We're just a supplemental service to what's already in existence.
And that's exactly what it is. I mean, it's the only way to put it. All right. Well, I guess we're on to you.
I think you have to vote.
Oh, we have a motion in a second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carries.
All right. Any other questions, concerns?
Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you.
So a couple items for you today. Again, as Brooks and Noel mentioned, discussion about the driver diversion local law for some of the new legislators or new committee members. If you weren't at, I believe, December's discussion, it was based upon the requests that were outlined in the memo. At that time, I had two, the Village of Bath and the City of Corning were submitted to us. And that led to a conversation with this committee about, again, how to put a framework, or how you want to handle that, put a framework around it. It sounded like at that time when Mr. Malter was chair, there was a desire to increase the municipal percentage in the local law. Now, that certainly is a possibility. It's probably the most straightforward. The issue is the areas of population where you have police agencies that are doing enforcement. If you increased the percentage, the City of Corning might get like an extra $200. Because the tickets are on the highway.
Right.
Same with the Village of Bath, same with the City of Hornell. So just increasing the percentage, if you want to provide, some sort of funds for them to get equipment that, you know, ideally is used for traffic safety, improving the safety of the traffic under the local law. Increasing the percentage does not accomplish that, frankly.
No, that helps Wayland, Avoca, Irwin, and Lindley.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you have a few options. Again, as mentioned, these funds do go into any excess goes into the general fund. So what you've done before is you've allocated funds from the general fund for these purposes. There's a few ways, and again, I don't know if I'm prepared today for a recommendation because it's still kind of reviewing the ways to structure it in terms of where in the budget this is. You know, it would be an appropriation essentially of general fund money, but you know that you're accumulating a surplus from driver diversion. So it's a question. What I talked about the last time, and I kind of referenced what you folks did with DPW and tearing down houses, because it almost reached this point where you were getting all these requests, and you'd approve a few, and then all of a sudden you got eight of them sitting there, and you set up a process where you'll do X number per year. Mm-hmm. In DPW's case, it was 5 per year. So my thought in this case was to, set aside, here's the total dollar amount, and here's the max per award or something like that. But bring it back up to tag on to their presentation, to also let you know we have received additional requests and to kind of get thoughts.
Well, I'm fine with saying it's a certain max dollar amount annually and a max amount per award. It doesn't necessarily need to be a max number of requests, as long as you have the limit on
almost first come, first serve.
Yeah.
I would agree with Scott. My only question to that would be, if you were going to design some sort of a grant formula for it, do you want it so that the town or the village has some skin in the game? Is it a 25% match? Like, we do 75, yeah, they do 20. So it's something they actually need, not a wish list. I mean, not 50-50, they might not have it, but if 80-20 or something, just so that.
Well, the city camera one was
like 30 grand.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, no, that's a good point. And to a certain extent, the municipalities, and it's an imperfect comparison, but in the DPW case, the municipalities do have skin in the game with that. They help out with coordination, with codes, with mm-hmm. some of those other things.
And at least that way there, if you had some kind of match, and I mean, it doesn't have to be big, it's at least then it goes back to, if a town's asking for it, at least the board knows it versus the whole thing. Somehow they're putting out something so yeah. that the communication is there, where, like the Village of Bath, their request, if we paid 80% of that and they paid 20, at least they would. It's just a thought, but I agree with you.
You could also do, so hypothetically, the fund has $100,000 a year in it. You could say any award up to $5,000 is 100%. It doesn't need to be matched. Five to 25 is a 10% match, and then increase the scale.
That's kind of exactly.
That might get too detailed, but I don't,
What is your thought on something like that, Noel Brooks?
I kind of like Scott's idea, quite frankly, that that's if for some of the small dollar amounts we could just grant and then have them move forward with some additional funds. I would ask right now we take some care in setting the top number because of Axion sitting out there and the possibility for the needs for additional people. As you recall, when we started traffic diversion, we started about the same time that discovery reform happened, and the idea was that it would help offset discovery reform, which it would. However, the state has given us a grant every year to do that. Mm-hmm. They're state grants. I lived through a whole bunch of cycles of state grants. They pay you, then all of a sudden they stop. So I just want to be careful with that. And as we're looking at additional staffing needs as well, maybe we could, this might be a longer conversation than just
set. Yeah, I think we get a sense. So what I was specifically referencing was outside agency requests, where if it's internal, that's kind of a different thing, because we'd be having the discussion. It's general fund money, technically, at the end of the day, anyhow, so we'd be having the discussion. Yeah.
My only concern was how much if we decide to set aside half of that money right now, then we don't, and Axon comes back and says, we need $100,000.
A hypothetical.
Right. Pick a number. Yeah, and you said 100,000 scared me a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. I think last time I said, and again, it might not be the perfect recommendation, but I said 50. Because if you did 5 at 10 grand, that's 50.
Yeah.
So if that's the sense, instead of the changing, because if you were changing the municipal fee, which it sounded like the committee was leaning towards that the last discussion, then that's why it says amending local law, because that would be an amendment of the local law. If this is the way, then we can take that back and work on how we accomplish that and bring it back to you.
Well, I think as much as, we would like our towns to get a larger share, it is exactly what you say. A lot of the spots where there's issues, there's not speeding tickets written, So, you know, just taking Bob's town, I looked at it real quick. He got $101. So that doesn't help his. But if there was an issue there and they needed something that was $2,800, he could technically apply for the grant versus it would take him, you know, 28 years to buy that $2,800 item, you know, at $100 a year.
Half the towns in my district got nothing.
Yeah. So, I mean, but I also think that what the add on to it of Scott saying, you know, with me saying skin in the game, that'd be more of you're talking a $20,000 item.
Yeah.
If it's a $5,000 or the one is $2,250, something like that would be full.
Yeah.
But I also think that the 50,000 or something would be a much better number.
You could always start and then change.
You could always start at 30.
Yeah. Okay. So I think that gives us enough to continue work, enough direction. Thank you.
Thanks.
Other item. So ILS, whenever they come through, they meet with Mr. Sorrow, Ms. Prosek, and Chris and I to discuss their grants and all of those things. Sean can, I wasn't in this particular meeting. Sean can give you, but I'll give you a kind of a synopsis if that's okay. For newer legislators and those, because it's been a while, for assigned counsel, we used to contract for that with a local attorney. We used to give them dollar amount, and it was Dave Wallace, Joe Pelch when they were in private practice, those sort of things. We were fortunate enough to be able to bring it in-house a number of years ago, and that's worked extraordinarily well. The reason we were able to do that under ILS is because our law department does not have social service employees.
We put out an RFP before the law department took it, and there were no responses. So I think that's key to know that one is it's RFP. Yeah. So Mr. Wallace had responded for a couple of years, then Mr. Pelch. And then when it RFP'd, when Mr. Pelch went to the DA's office, we got nothing.
But not to interrupt, but for the newer people, these people were not attorneys fighting cases. They were managing.
They were the administrator. Program.
Right. Which is the same for us. We don't appear in any of those cases.
Right. Yeah. So the reason why ILS under once Harrell Herring happened, the reason we were able to continue with that as kind of a separate branch of the law department is because our law department doesn't have DSS attorneys where most counties do. If we had DSS attorneys, we would not be able to do that like we had 15 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But now that Harrell Herring is maturing more, they are up to staff in terms of, you know, the people that they have working, reviewing, and also they are going across, it sounds like, to every county to try to establish universal. The fact that we're an outlier and they know that nothing's and have admitted nothing's wrong with the structure. They actually like the structure, but they want to have standardization across the state. Therefore, they are asking us to again separate assigned counsel, which could be accomplished in a couple ways. And
plus they're paying for that salary, which they've never paid for. So that's key too.
Right.
This year they offered $95,000 to put towards an attorney salary or fringe in salary, which has never been offered before. So this is the first.
So that's a way, long way to say, and I'll let Sean, you know, speak up on what he's heard, you know, in that meeting with ILS, is either have to again look at an RFP or hire someone that would technically report to me, be a separate department.
We would have to amend the charter.
Mm-hmm.
I asked the question, it would require a creation of the ACP department, which I believe we have to also run through the bar, the local bar. We had to do that with a conflict defender's office. We'd have to run it through that. And you'd have to amend the charter. So it'd be a 2-month process in creating a department that would be under Jack, but their own department, because we did ask the question back if this person could be like the county auditor that was an attorney, but worked in Jack's office or in the finance office. And the answer was no, it has to be an independent attorney, either in private practice or in their own office, own department that the county creates.
So because we're getting money, you know, this is going to be funded and we have a little time. If we had to default to hiring internally and creating a department, that's going to take, like Jen said, a couple months. Might not hurt to put out an RFP just to see what we get. To see if there are any private attorneys. I would say, and again, I'm not an expert in this, but I would say the chances are not great, kind of like last time where we got no responses, but maybe there's someone who wants to pick it up. Any other?
If I can jump in.
Yeah.
There is, Sean.
Historically, ILS and the New York State Defenders Association has been really keen on making sure that the assigned counsel program was autonomous and didn't really have any connection to any of the other departments. It was an entity unto itself for very important reasons, specifically, you know, conflicts, the cases that we handle. There just shouldn't be any bleed over. And we've been lucky in a certain sense. Now, the New York State Defenders Association, despite the fact that the assigned counsel program and the county attorney's office don't involve DSS employees, New York State Defenders Association was uncomfortable with that. And for that reason, my office has a case management system that the assigned counsel program isn't allowed to use because NYSDA said, nope, we're not going to make it available for this reason. Well, ILS has been great. And they have been, you know, developing and growing. And so, you know, now we're all set up to sign the year 6, 7, and 8 contract amendment to the Harrell Herring settlement. And now more than ever, I've seen my representative from ILS within the past 6, 8 months more than I've ever seen ILS come down here. And they're coming in person. And you know, again, now that some time has passed, that everybody is squared away and set up, they're really, you know, pushing to revisit the idea that whatever we can do to put the assigned counsel program where it belongs in its purest form is an effort that we should undertake. And so when she came, we actually hadn't contemplated this at all. The budget that we had squared away was all set. And ILS came with additional funding, both for my office and for the assigned counsel program. So once the contract amendment is signed, I will be back in front of you getting additional positions created because that was their pleasure. And again, it's money that we hadn't anticipated, but I'm always happy when they come with more. And so, you know, now we're in this space where for the first time ever, we've got funding and it actually required a little bit of a tweak in terms of my budget to actually support paying this position. And so it's attractive from that standpoint. There's also, although I don't think Attorney Prosek and I are holding our breath here, there's also an option to get additional funds if we were to get into an intermunicipal agreement with another county, specifically Chemung. Doesn't feel like that's going to happen. So we want to proceed this way. And
but ILS is the one who raised that.
Absolutely.
Kind of asked.
Yeah, I can assure you that after my handler left me, she went to Chemung County to put the pedal to the metal on them and say, this is what you guys need to get going and do before you get sued. I'm not sure how that was received by Chemung, but I would have thought we would have immediately received a absolutely let's go response. And that's not what we got. So I think we move forward on our own. And I think ILS favors the RFP contract route, but failing that, we can absolutely explore the more difficult path.
On the contract route, one of the options that we discussed, depending upon what responses we get back, and maybe we structure it as a two-part, multiple responses, is because of the funding level and the type of work that is done, we might need to be in a position where we would hire a senior account clerk typist or paralegal or something like that to manage most of the workflow, but it has to be assigned and overseen by an attorney.
But good news, folks, through the conversion of another distribution that used to be attached to the conflict defender's office, I've already converted that, and we have the funding to create a position within the assigned counsel program, sounding and senior typist. So we can have support staff available relatively quickly. It's with the bricks are there. It's just a function of, you know, how we build it and in what way.
So if you're looking for a recommendation, would be to authorize issuance of an RFP to see what we get. And in the meantime, if depending upon how that comes back, if that doesn't work, then we will come back to you with creating positions, department, all that stuff.
I'll entertain a motion for that.
All right. We have a motion to authorize an RFP. We have a second.
Second.
And I'm sorry to keep asking, but for the new folks, can you explain, either of you, the difference between a assigned counsel and a public defender or a conflict defender?
Sure. So at one point in time, we had three layers of indigent defense, public defenders being first up. And so the typical scenario would be an arrest is made and two people are arrested as co-defendants. Ethically, we're not permitted to represent them both because we want to zealously represent our client. And so the inclination would be, well, if I like person A better than person B, I try to win the case for A and I throw B under the bus and blame it all on them. And in that position, I have full access to all of their information. So we don't do that. We never do that. And so the next step is, okay, Sean keeps one, and then and that decision is based on a number of factors, including, you know, our prior representation of the person, checking with family court to make sure we have no conflicts there. So then we kick the other person to the conflict defender program. The conflict defender program was designed as a buffer to prevent cases from immediately going to the assigned counsel program where we're paying an hourly rate. So we had salary folks in that role, and that on paper makes all the sense in the world. It should have worked out swimmingly. It didn't. So we no longer have that buffer. So anytime I get, you know, one or more co-defendants, or there are some other ethical reasons why we kick a case loose, it then goes to the assigned counsel program where an individual, a private attorney, they reach out to in the community and say, would you please do this for us? And that's how those relationships are done. The panel is very small anymore, so it's a Herculean task for the folks in assigned counsel, but we do it.
Thank you. Do we have any other questions for Sean or for Jack on this?
Right. Nope.
Thank you, Sean.
Sure.
Do you have anything else, Jack?
I have to vote on that.
Vote. Nope. I keep forgetting the vote. Mm-hmm. All in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? I think you guys are here to remind me.
Nothing else.
Nothing else? All right. Do we have a motion to adjourn?
Also moved.
Do we have a second?
Second.
Do you guys want me to forget to vote on that one?
No.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Meeting's adjourned.